What's up, y'all? Fan Culture Podcast, back episode 36. We got Carl, we got Brandon here. How y'all doing?
36 Mafia.
What's up?
Why you gotta be like this? No, I'm
kidding. Right. So we got some good stuff to get to. Obviously, we had the Last Dance episodes 5 and 6, so we'll react to that. We'll talk a little NFL as well and who thinks their team is going to the Super Bowl next year, half jokingly. But half serious as well. But let's get into the first dance, the last dance, not the first dance, the last dance. So episodes 5 and 6 dropped. We talked about it off air. Some of the things they touched on was the Dream Team, Jordan didn't like Clyde Drexler and thought that it was disrespectful that he was putting the same caliber of player as him. They talked about Jordan's gambling. What else did they talk about? Going into the whole three-peat against Phoenix as well and Barkley. But what did you guys think?
Jordan feeling like he should have got the MVP that year, which a lot of people feel like. But I didn't know that he felt that same way as well. I didn't know if he really cared about that. That was cool.
Yeah. So what did you guys think about these past couple episodes? What are some of your takeaways? Something new you learned or just something that kind of solidified your mindset?
I mean, being like literally – an infant throughout a lot of this. I mean, I'm born in 91. You had your first three-peat between 91 and 93. A lot of it is, you know, new detailed information that I may not have had. You know, I've always felt like Jordan was a GOAT, even if it is just based on the numbers and not literally getting to sit there and watch all 6 championships. I'm familiar with enough to where I can recognize the greatness of people that I didn't get to watch. Every single person that I'm able to see is not better than every single person that I didn't, especially when we still have evidence of their work. So I like the fact that it's exposing detailed information for people like myself. I like the fact that it's exposing just new information, period, for a lot of people younger than me that aren't familiar with Jordan at all outside of the shoe or things that they may hear as to why he's better than LeBron, but they just don't really get it. You know, so for me, it's pretty cool. I like it. With these last 2 episodes, it's really just that. The more details, the better for me.
I think for me, it was kind of like the realization of, well, people said he could have went for, you know, 7, 8 championships. And, like, the toll that takes on like, a person's body is ridiculous. And for him to do, like, if I have 2 three-peats, like that's already ridiculous in itself.
With Olympics in the middle of them.
Yeah. But just like the toll that would have to take, and like after the media, what stood out to me after the media found out like of his gambling, how they treated him, and like how like he felt like basically a prisoner. He couldn't really go anywhere. Like that was kind of like, it sucked to watch just because, you know, you would assume like everybody loves Michael Jordan and everybody like, wants to be like Mike, as they were saying in the Last Dance, but that wasn't like the case. A lot of people just wanted something from him, you know what I mean? Or just like, They had no problem at all asking him the same question like a million times, and you know, just kind of like respecting him as a person. So yeah, it just goes to show like when you get to a certain level of success, like privacy, like and just like people's opinion of you start to change a lot, you know. So it was interesting to see that on full display.
Yeah. There were a couple things that I really liked about the episode. For me, watching those Bulls teams, and more so in the second three-peat, obviously, but I always liked Tony Kukoc as a player. I thought that he was very underrated and nobody really talked about him during that second three-peat, because it was obviously Jordan, Pippen, Rodman, and then you got Phil. But Tony Kukoc was like an X factor. He was their Lamar Odom, ultimately. And we've seen how impactful a Lamar Odom is on a championship team. that was Tony Kukoc in a nutshell. I liked how they kind of went back to how Jerry Krause, the GM, was very interested in Tony Kukoc, loved him, all this stuff. I think he went to Croatia a couple times to go watch him play. And Jordan looking for, like, any sort of slight, you know, because I think Pippen's deal wasn't signed yet either. So it's like, okay, you're trying to find his replacement. And the way that they made an effort to, like, literally, like, humiliate this dude in, you know, the during the Dream Team.
The Lynx.
Yeah. They were like, leave him for me and Scotty.
I love how they just made everything a personal vendetta.
Right.
Like, everything was just like a slight. Everything was just kind of like Ben might got a shape, or he just used it as fuel to to destroy you even more. So,
yeah. And
it's like, you a shooting guard. Both of y'all good. We want to see that. Wait, what? That's
right.
What? Why
should we
go have
45
on him?
Yeah. And it's funny because, Carl, you said, like, that's sensitive, but I feel like a lot of, like, superstars, I guess, are sensitive. They do take slights because you got to find a way to challenge yourself ultimately. You got to feel like you're always slighted, like you're always disrespected. It's the ones that get comfortable are the ones that become the middle of the road, you know, players. So it is kind of interesting the stuff that people either – make up in their head or just completely exaggerate to get to that point of, okay, now I'm going to give this person my all and I'm going to make you forget who this person even is. But, you know, Tony Kukoc, I think in the championship game and the gold medal game, like, toughened up, had a better game. Obviously, they still got blown out. I mean, but still, he gained the respect of Michael and of Scotty after that. Because it's like, okay, he didn't, you know, crumble the second time around. Like, he toughened up and no, he played well. So I did enjoy that. Also, just the toll, kind of feeding off of what you said, Brandon, the toll of just being the biggest person in the world, really. You know, not just biggest athlete, but the biggest person in the world. He was literally larger than life. Just imagine not being able to go anywhere and have, like, a second to yourself. Everywhere you go, everyone knows you. If they don't, they want to know you. You know, and that's pre-social media as well. Like, basically, Mike was walking social media because everywhere he went, everyone was talking about
him. Yeah. You know, the beret hat. You know, gambling, like, everything.
Right.
Honestly, I'm going to be honest with you, because a part of what we were also talking about was whether or not this may have damaged LeBron's career, more people getting to see why Jordan is the greatest of all time. Honestly, that portion of the documentary made me respect LeBron James a little bit more, because I'm listening to Michael Jordan make very accurate and justifiable statements as to why he doesn't really enjoy being a celebrity. You know, playing basketball is one thing. Making money is one thing. Having fans is one thing. But y'all just doing too much in terms of the idolizations of me to where I'm damn near wrong for being a human. LeBron James lives in a worse time for that.
Right.
And just because I've never heard him complain about it, I feel like if anything, he takes on that role a little bit more, especially when you see how active he is on social media, the Taco Tuesday, everybody knowing what his family looks like. Like, you know,
uninterrupted.
You know what his kids look like. Uninterrupted, being not afraid of showing that humility. Like, I respect that part of him a little bit more, because, not saying Jordan didn't, because he did. He just at some point spoke about how he didn't like it. But the fact that I haven't heard LeBron complain about it yet, and I see the way he handles himself, he doesn't have any scandals. If it is something, it's something dumb. Somebody making up like a false rumored affair. Oh, he's sleeping with Beyonce. He's sleeping with Rihanna. Rihanna's coming to watch him. That means something. Just something dumb. You know, just dumb off the court stuff.
She be wilding in the crowd, bro.
Now respect.
Ever see them games?
I remember her.
Ever see them games where she be in attendance to a game? She really be like bowing at this dude.
Yeah, but I mean, that don't, like, what am I supposed to do about that? Because the biggest pop star on the planet want to come watch me play.
I'd be like, oh, that's a technical foul. Ref.
Remember they used to keep, like, track of when like certain women come to the games and what these players' records would be when they show up and when they don't be. That stuff would be crazy.
Ooh, remember they went into detail about when Kendall Jenner was there watching Ben Simmons play, what their record was
he shot better, like his stats versus when they was together and when they broke up. Like he literally has better stats when they're in a relationship.
He blew it.
But going back to Jordan, one of the things that I found interesting, because I was glad that he addressed the whole Republicans buy sneakers too. I'm glad he addressed it. I mean, I understand his logic, especially with that whole situation about supporting, I think it was Harvey Gantt was his name, who was running for senator in the state of North Carolina. I understand, because at one point he said, well, I don't know the dude. Like, I get that, and I mean, I can feel that, because I know some people will just say, oh, they're black, or oh, whatever, I'm just going to go support them. I don't know anything about their cause, but y'all vote for him. Like, that's damaging as well, so I understand that. The one thing that I kind of took away that I didn't really like was, you know, how people say, well, Jordan didn't really want to be an activist and all this stuff. I don't get necessarily – I feel like you don't have to be an activist by saying, like, hey, this is what I believe in, blah, blah, blah. So-and-so supports what I believe in. You know, vote for them, if that's the case. I don't think that's necessarily being an activist. That's just he being human and having an opinion. Like, I feel like they try to attribute everything outside of basketball, anything that's related to a social issue, to activism. Like, you're not just an activist because you have an opinion on, you know, abortion.
Yeah, you got, what are you doing? What are you acting on?
Right. So, and I think because of that, players don't want to get labeled as an activist, or at least they didn't want to previously. So they don't put anything out there because they don't want to be. Right. So I wish that whole kind of stigma, I guess, would go away. Like, if I'm LeBron James, I have the right to have an opinion, but you don't have to call me an activist for X, Y, and Z, because just like all of us, we have ideals that are all over the place. We're not, you know, in the same lane on every single thought and, you know, idea in the world. So, but I mean, I understand in that circumstance why Jordan didn't do it, because I don't even really know anything about the dude. And you telling me just to say vote for the black guy.
To me, I agree with what you're saying, Sid. I mean, to get put in that position to where, like, oh, we got to be chummy just because, like, we both black. Like, what if we don't share the same beliefs?
What if he was a black Republican?
That too, you know. And I think that, like, looking back on it, I feel like Michael Jordan is, like, he's probably just, like, one of the purest hoopers that I know. Like, he don't care about a whole lot. He just cares about hoop and, like, being the best at just hoop. So if he can just do that, he'll be happy. Like, he don't want to have to worry about, like, politics and, you know, who, like, if you ain't in between those lines, like, you're not very high on his priority list. To me, like, unless it has to do with, like, money. But I feel like at that time,
he cares.
Yeah, at that time, I think he cared about basketball more than whatever, like, that election was about. But also, I feel like he was thinking about his, like, his image. I mean,
as a businessman, what do you want me to do? You want me to say something that's
pro-black? That could be damaging, or it could be spent somewhere else.
But at the end of the day, as a businessman, and I mean, this is the thing. Not everything that comes out of Republicans' mouth is bad. Not everything that comes out of a Republican's mouth is racist towards black people. So you just can't expect for me to back a Democrat just because he's a Democrat or just because he's black. And some people just aren't into politics.
Yeah.
There's a lot to follow. True. You can't just say, yeah, let me go with this person. Like, it's a lot to follow.
A lot of us aren't qualified. Politics is a lot. I mean, I was talking about something on Facebook where it's like, you know, we are not in the spot to really make decisions on all these things yet basically like we're like the least qualified and we have the least expertise, yet we have the strongest opinions. You know, we put that out on social media, we have those discussions, all that stuff. But it's just, I have the right to have an opinion, so I'm gonna share all this ignorant stuff regardless of what side you're on.
When it comes to politics, I leave it alone. Only thing I'm gonna do is explain to you why I don't vote, and the only reason why I'm gonna tell you that is because you talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I'll leave that stuff alone.
Yeah. What'd you guys think about all of Jordan's gambling issues? You know,
I mean, I felt like it was just somebody needing to find a reason to say something negative about a very important person. Negativity brings about a lot of like odds. A lot of people pay attention to negativity. And then when you got somebody that people are already paying attention to, you know, it's like, it's kind of just makes it even better for that media outlet. But at the end of the day, you got a grown man going to Atlantic City with his daddy the night before a game. If he didn't have a bad game, I really don't even care. Like, like no grown man has ever been in a casino past midnight. Like, it happens. Yeah, even if you got a basketball game in the morning. I'm just different. Like, honestly, when I look at these things, like, I don't ever want to offend a professional athlete, but for me, basketball, football, these are like children's games that adults got so good at, and it became so entertaining that they were just able to make millions of dollars doing it. At the end of the day,
I think about that sometimes.
I got a basketball game in the morning. I can do whatever I want the night before. If it doesn't affect the game, and I mean, did they win game? What was that, before game two?
Yeah, it was before game two.
Didn't they win that game two?
Nah, they lost.
How did he play?
They lost to.
I don't think he didn't play.
I thought he went after they lost the first. Was it the first two that they lost?
They lost the first two.
Yeah, okay, because he went because they lost game one.
Right. And
y'all lose game two again. If he didn't have like a terrible game, I don't even think it should have been like a factor. And even if you want to just talk about like him gambling, period. Adults gamble, especially if you have money. Like.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they were saying. They were saying in the documentary that like $10,000 is like $10 to Michael Jordan, like, which is wild.
Right. What I found crazy is there was like a media member. There was a media member. They had their soundbite in there, and I found it crazy how they were like questioning Jordan's commitment to the game and commitment to the sport. But it's like, okay, at this time, he's a 2-time champion, just won back to back, is pursuing 3 straight. And you gonna question his, you know, commitment to the game?
Do you not think I've been gambling this whole time that I've been balling?
Right. I just started because Atlantic City was an hour away. Like,
I mean, rookie of the year, defensive player of the year, all stars. Like, do you not think I did all this while gambling?
Right.
Hey, was y'all weak or was y'all not weak when he was playing that that security guard for in that quarters game? I was dying. And those memes that came out with
Cuz, yeah,
he's like
the shirt.
Yeah,
I did
really
find it,
like.
I found it interesting though because his point was so strong when he was like, "I have a competition problem." Like he treated everything just as a competition. Like his whole life was a competition.
Believe that man when he says that, because you could tell. You could literally just tell.
And when you put your money on the line, it just makes things a little bit better.
Right. And I mean, and I can relate to that.
Better for who?
Sometimes, I mean, for that individual, sometimes it just drives you a little
bit.
Oh,
I see.
Like, okay, now we got something on the line. We got something that we're actually doing it for. Other than that,
I was going to say, because usually when you involve money, somebody dying.
And then, I mean, he got it, and he was safe with it. He was cool. Ain't nothing I'm finna complain about. I don't think
Steph did. I mean, I know a lot of people tie it into – there's a big conspiracy theory you guys have probably heard about why Jordan disappeared for 2 years, mm-hmm. You know, and they tie it into his gambling. And
he's paying back debts.
Well, they're saying, like, the NBA didn't want to suspend him or whatever, So they're like, why don't you just step away for a minute and come back and all this stuff. I don't really know how much. I don't know how much I know. To that, honestly.
I think he really was tired, like one of his teammates was saying. Like, I really believe that that man just
it's had hard, bro.
Kind of felt like, what else is it for me to do? Like, even though you love basketball, that don't mean you love. I don't think everybody want to play till they're 40.
Right. And on top of that, his dad had just died, or been murdered, I should say, not just died, been murdered. Yeah. Like, you know, it was a family, it was a dream of his to see Michael play baseball. I mean, I don't know.
It seemed like the perfect time. You had already established yourself as one of the greats. We're seeing it now. Like, I've heard a lot of people question or say, oh, well, Michael Jordan wasn't the GOAT until blah, blah, blah. People are saying, like, you're playing old clips of people calling him the greatest to ever play his sport, the greatest in the game, the greatest of all time during these three-peats.
Yeah.
Like, you're actively playing and being like called the greatest of all time, and you're not 15 years in.
Yeah, that's
crazy.
I just don't see a way. We talked about how Jordan was larger than life at that time. I don't see a way that even the NBA could make him retire and come back in 2 years. So I don't
think he did that because of that.
I don't think so either. So, yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to the next few episodes, though, because I didn't know that much about the first three-peat. So it was nice to get all that, you know, information and stuff. Like Carl, like you said, we were young. That second three-peat, I do have memories of actually watching some of those games and seeing some of those moments. So I'm definitely looking forward to that part of it as well. Obviously, you know, there's a whole climatic point, you know, where – obviously, it's all said and done, and the drama is increasing between the organization. But, you know, I think now Steve Kerr enters the mix because he was in Cleveland for that first three-peat. You know, you insert Rodman now. You get to see Horace Grant leave.
Him going to Orlando. I wonder when they're going to start talking. I mean, that has to be coming up. Horace Grant going to Orlando beating Jordan when he first comes back.
Yeah. They'll probably, because it sounds like they're going to go into, it sounds like at least, I guess, in the second part of the three-peat, they're going to talk about that whole playoff journey in 98, I think, when they went against the Nets in the first round. So I think they're going to be playing that. And I think along with, okay, Jordan's gone. What do the Bulls do while he's gone? Okay, now Jordan's back. And then they'll segue into, you know, whatever after that. So... You know, I'm enjoying it, though. I'm looking forward to it. A lot of information, a lot of content, especially since sports is so slow right now. We definitely need the content, all the content we can get.
No, I'm enjoying it. Like, it wasn't very difficult to catch up on with the ESPN app. Once I started it, you know, it immediately caught my attention, so it wasn't hard to really just sit there and binge to it either. So I like it. I do.
I like the little section that they had dedicated to Kobe as well. I didn't know that he was talking about Kobe like that. Like, I wouldn't pass him the ball. Like, he going to take everybody in the All-Star game. Like, his first All-Star game.
Little kid from L.A.
Right. Yeah, but he did what he said. That was cool, though. They're just the connection that they had. I mean, obviously, we all knew they had a connection, but it was nice just to kind of see that again. I feel like we can never get enough Kobe content at this point either. So I'm looking forward to seeing more things roll out about Kobe too, as we remember him. So NFL offseason has been fun, I guess, depending on who your team is. We got the draft all wrapped up. We got the first wave of free agency all wrapped up. Obviously some, you know, major players still remain unsigned. Some major moves have been made in the past couple of weeks. We got Broncos fan, we got Ravens fan, we got Cowboys fan. How are you guys feeling about your team offseason?
I'll let you go first, Carl.
I'm not feeling anything, man. As a Rams fan, I'm still mourning the career loss of Todd Gurley in terms of him being a part of the Rams franchise. He's forever going to be one of my favorite Rams. I still feel like our front office went about this whole situation incorrectly. I feel like it's going to take us a minute to recover, to build back the collection of talent that we had. So I'm thinking it might be like a, at best, I say we probably go like 9-7 at the best. I think Aaron Donald is still going to have a tremendous year. I hope Cooper Kupp balls out to kind of justify the Brandon Cooks trade. If you feel like, you know, hearing Robert Woods or your guys, or, you know, however you look at it, I feel like Brandon Cooks' contract played a part in it. But at the same time, it's not like you replaced that production with another receiver. Mm. Not somebody like on his level. You know, you didn't trade a name for a name. You know, you brought in some guys in the draft, and I liked the positions that we were looking at. I didn't get a chance to really look into each person, but it was kind of like, okay, we needed a linebacker. We got one of those. You know, we needed some DB help. We got a couple of those. I believe we did get a wide receiver. I know we definitely got a running back in the second round, so I didn't mind where our heads was at. I just got to look into each rookie a little bit more to see how they might fit and see how excited I actually get about each individual player. For the most part, it's been, you know, relatively quiet. I don't feel like we replaced our defensive losses as well as we could have. So, honestly, I don't feel like we're going to have a great season. I would be happy about 9 wins, honestly, but I wouldn't even be shocked if we messed around and got like 6 or 7, but I see 9 at the most. Now I'm being optimistic for what I see at the most, but
yeah,
it's just kind of like whatever. We back to just being like the Rams.
Right. It's a tough time because I think everybody in the division, pretty much everybody in the division, either stayed pat or got better. Mm-hmm. I think except for the Rams. I think the Rams might have taken a step back. And I mean, not a big step, but a step nonetheless. So, I mean, we'll see. We know how important those division games are. All right, Brandon, what about your Cowboys? How are you feeling?
I think we did very solid this year in the draft. You know, we picked up CeeDee Lamb. After watching tape on him, I'm very, you know, optimistic. I'm very optimistic for him joining the lineup with what's his name? Amari Cooper and, you know, Michael Gallup and, you know, all our offensive arsenal that we have. I think he'll fit in, and I like his attitude towards the game. Is it Trayvon Diggs, I think, that we picked up in the second round? Brother of Stephon Diggs. So I seen tape on him. They're saying he's
is he a DB?
Yeah, they're saying he's one of the best to come out of the draft. So definitely can always use that type of defensive presence.
With the Cowboys, and I was looking at better to build a team and just place in an average quarterback, or should they like really bring back Dak and try to believe in him as like
a great one? If you look at like all the quarterbacks that have won over the past years, I mean the most recent one out of all of them, let's say out of the last 5 years, which one could you like just swap out? I feel like a lot of quarterbacks would kind of, or that win at that level, are prolific quarterbacks. So they're
you see that prolific quarterback? Like, would you put him in the same Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers?
I've always liked Dak, and I've always liked his approach to the game, his kind of like I've seen him will us to like wins and stuff, and you know, I feel like he has a ton of heart, and I think he's very talented skill wise, given the opportunity. I mean, not that he hasn't been given the opportunity. I'm just saying that I think that if you get a new quarterback, you have to think about how that dynamic is going to change. Are you just swapping quarterbacks just to see if you win more, or do you know for sure that, like, you're guaranteed to get more wins with that quarterback? And I feel like the Cowboys need to take that into account if they plan on swapping out Dak, because I see everybody getting, like, I get updates all the time on like the quarterback, not the quarterbacks, the Cowboys, because I have it set up that way on my phone. But I see everybody getting deals and Dak's not getting a deal. If that's something that's like can be repaired, I think they need to figure it out before it gets too close to the season, because then you create an atmosphere in the locker room that's kind of like it's unstable to me. I feel like, and with Mike McCarthy being the head coach, I feel like he needs to kind of like spearhead this to where either see where Dak is as a player, and if you want to like keep him on, if not, like that conversation needs to be had if the organization is going in a different direction, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's a matter of where the Cowboys think they are actually at. You know, I feel like they think that they are, you know, right there to contend for a Super Bowl. Brandon, to your point, like you said, kind of the top quarterbacks or top Super Bowl winning quarterbacks, you kind of got to – I feel like if you get it right, you just have to sign them, because there's no guarantee that you'll ever get it right again at the quarterback spot, or how long it's going to take for you to get that next right quarterback. So I know, as unfortunate as it is and how potentially overpaid they are, especially in terms of the team's cap, you just got to take the hit and figure everything else out. You know, get good at your drafting, you know, get develop those fourth and fifth round picks and utilize them for the 3-4 years on a rookie deal, as opposed to having to sign, you know, a premier linebacker, a premier corner, whatever the case is.
That's true. People are talking about like Dak is are talking about like not re-signing Dak, like he was the main reason why we weren't winning games. And I know that quarterbacks are a big factor when it comes to like winning games, but like he hasn't played one game under Mike McCarthy. We don't know what kind of offense they're gonna be running. And I think, you know, a lot of people, he's been getting compared to Tony Romo a lot. Like, this would happen if Tony Romo was still the quarterback. You know, he would have got paid. And I agree with some of those sentiments. I just say, like, don't say it's broken.
He did get paid.
Huh?
He did get paid. He got his contract.
Who, Dak did?
Nah, Romo.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, like, and Dak is – well, Shannon Sharp was saying it, but he's completed more in his time at Dallas than Tony Romo has. And, you know, there's a lot that you can say about that. I'm just saying that, you know, give him an opportunity to actually, you know, see if he can win with this head coach.
Yeah.
I mean, I hear you on give him a chance, but – giving him a chance consists of you investing how much money into him? Because it's not like you can just give him, like, a trial run. Like, don't he still got to, like, sign and choose to play under a franchise tag?
Yeah, because he hasn't even signed it yet.
Yeah, so it's like that there is the chance. All right, well, we'll give you 1 year, pay you this much money to see how you do with this guy before we invest in you. But if you can't even agree to that because you want to be secure for the next 4 to 5 years down the road, then I don't know how they make this work. Because I understand exactly what both of y'all are saying, and I agree with you, Sydney. When you do find that guy, you really got to take that hit. But everybody isn't that guy. I don't know if I'm ready to invest $40 million a year into Dak Prescott. I don't know if it's any quarterback that hasn't won a championship yet that I'm giving $40 million to. Like, it's Patrick Mahomes. If Patrick Mahomes was balling every year, but they never won a championship, we wouldn't be saying, oh, yeah, he getting his $45, $50 a year. Like, you just give him that. If they weren't winning, we wouldn't be saying the same thing. If they had lost in the playoffs, you know, the first round or whatever their first game was the last two seasons, it wouldn't be the same talk. So at some point, you got to earn that money, and you can't earn that money just because you win, you know, majority of the games played in a regular season and you complete majority of your passes thrown. Like, a lot of that is cool, but what does that do for me as a franchise before I decide to give you all this money?
Yeah.
I think you were talking about it. I don't know if it was you or Sydney, but you had said something along the line. This was last year, something along the lines of, like, all those stats are great, but, like, do they basically materialize into wins, you know, for the team? And, you know, you guys have a point when it comes to that. I just like – I like seeing Dak in a Cowboys jersey, but, I mean, if we can get production from somebody else and it's going to be cheaper, then, you know, we might have to go that route just to save some money. But I have a feeling it's going to have a weird effect on the locker room. I mean, as it always usually does, but.
Yeah. It's just tough, though, because football is, like, the ultimate team sport, like, even more so than basketball. Like, for example – if you're averaging more than 30, there's a pretty good chance that you're on a winning team. Like, yes, you're going to have someone like a Bradley Beal who's on a losing team because his team's trash. But if you're contributing so much to a team, you know, in the NBA, you're likely going to be on a winning team. In the NFL, it doesn't matter. You know, you could throw for almost 5,000 yards like Dak, and it doesn't mean anything because your team is 8-8. You know, I think they have a lot of other holes, or they had at least a lot of other holes. They took a hit on their offensive line. We used to talk about how their offensive line was the best in football. That's not the case anymore. Their secondary, they've always had issues with their secondary. They can't get it right over there. I don't know what it is. But they've always had issues there. DeMarcus Lawrence got paid, you know, a max contract, and he's not proven to be worth it. You know, Zeke still played well, but yet, you know, you probably overpaid Zeke, but I get it. But you're doling out money everywhere else for these underperforming units, and Dak is top three in passing. Well, where's my money at? So, I mean, I could get, you know, why he would be so salty too.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely shot themselves in the foot with those other contracts.
Yeah. But, I mean, we'll see. It's a new regime. We'll see how their approach, you know, switches up. And who knows? Maybe it was just a culture change is all they really needed. We'll find out.
Hopefully, starts
on time.
How my about Broncos, yeah.
Man, I loved our offseason. Obviously, we lost Chris Harris Jr., which I wasn't a big fan of. I was really hoping that it was going to be him and A.J. Bouye, you know, at the two corners.
That would be nice.
That would have been real nice. But we traded for A.J. Bouye. That was our first, like, major move. We traded for Jarrell Casey as well. I think we traded for, like, a seventh-round pick for him. So, I mean, we got him for basically nothing. It was just taking on his contract. But he's a good player from Tennessee. What other moves do we make? Obviously, Bradley Chubb's coming back healthy. Bradley Chubb had a heck of a rookie year. So, I'm looking forward to him and Von Miller on opposite sides again, you know, on their pass rush. We got some offensive line help, which we've needed this whole entire time. I love the draft. Who would have thought that we were going to get Jerry Jeudy at the 15th pick?
Man.
I thought we were going to have to trade up to get him if we wanted him. That's it wasn't even obvious who we wanted out of those three wide receivers. I was just glad once, I think, Tampa drafted Tristan Wirfs at the 13th pick. I was like, great, we're going to get at least one of these receivers is going to fall to us. But the fact that we got to choose between CeeDee Lamb and Jerry Jeudy at 15 and not have to trade up.
Did you like the choice made?
What's that?
Did you like the choice made or did you want CeeDee?
I like them both, honestly. I probably lean more towards the Jeudy pick just because we gave up Emmanuel Sanders. Emmanuel Sanders did a lot of work in the slot. Jerry Jeudy does a lot of work in the slot. CeeDee can play in the slot, but he's more of an outside receiver. But we needed that inside work, especially you're dealing with a young quarterback.
somebody that's not so far out, a little more accurate, a little more intermediate passes.
Exactly. I mean, he's precise. He's a great route runner. People say he's a better route runner than Amari Cooper was, even coming out of Alabama. So I like that. I love that pickup. Even going back to free agency, we added Melvin Gordon, and I still don't know how I feel about it. But if they play their cards right, that's going to be a heck of a running back duo between him and Philip Lindsay.
Hey, y'all got Melvin Gordon?
Yeah. I told y'all, we're going to the Super Bowl. Y'all sleep, man. But no, I feel like we took care of all of our needs. Wide receiver has been a need for a while. So I'm glad that we got Jerry Jeudy there. We drafted an interior lineman from Fresno State in the sixth round as well. I forgot his name. He's like a Samoan dude. He's dope.
Shout out to you.
Yeah, he benched. I think he benched 44 reps at the combine at 225. Yeah, jeez. 44 reps. I mean, he's different. I think the reason he fell, though, is just because he's had a lot of durability issues. So,
oh, I see.
We'll see. We'll see if he can come up. But if he's healthy, he's going to be a gem. But, yeah, no, I liked our offseason a lot. We got to compete against the Chiefs in the division. So, you know, we needed to get some firepower. The defense has always been there, but the defense was on the field too long all the time, which is why they were getting scored on eventually. Our offense was just so trash over the past several years. So it was time to load up over there. And I like Drew Lock a lot. I think we finally found a quarterback. So shout out to John Elway for hopefully finally finding a quarterback. But yeah, we're going to the Super Bowl. So
I actually want to see football again.
You say you want to see football again?
Yeah. I'm looking forward to this season. Yeah. I just need to go back to normal, though.
Yeah, right. Hopefully it starts on time, though. And honestly, I don't know how things – if the NBA comes back, how is that going to impact the NFL? Is it going to get to the point where, like, certain leagues, I kind of got to choose, like, am I watching NBA or am I watching NFL?
Depends who's playing.
I mean, when it comes to NFL or NBA, it'll likely be playoff time if it don't start sooner. So
yeah, but you know, just some series just don't blow my skirt up.
Are you telling me you don't want to watch a 7-game series between Milwaukee and Orlando?
Wait, between who?
Milwaukee and Orlando.
Absolutely not.
You can miss me with that one too.
Right. Yeah. That's why I kind of wish they went back to like the 5-game series in the first round. Like, don't make me watch at least 4 games of Milwaukee.
But then again, like, it kind of depends on who playing. Like, if it's the Warriors in Portland, I don't mind watching that. I mean, I don't think it's going to go 7, but I don't mind watching as many games as I can get out of Steph Curry and Damian Lillard in the first round.
Yeah. But I don't know. Sometimes 7 just seems long. Like, sometimes, have you guys ever thought, like, going through the playoffs, just like, damn. Why are we in at the finals yet?
Yeah.
I mean, and I
feel like you're going through the motions.
Right. And to Carl's point, I think it comes down to the matchups. There have been some years where it's been just tremendous matchups. But right now, this season, it's like 4 teams I really want to see. I don't really want to see anybody else. My Spurs aren't even included. So.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, this year I just wanted to see the Lakers and the Clippers and then whoever playing the finals.
Right, that's about it. So I don't mind if even they just skip to that. If they just say, we're going to take the top 2 teams.
Yeah, honestly, just let the Lakers and the Clippers play to see who play Milwaukee. That's all you got to do.
It's wild because we don't even give Miami no chance. We don't give Philly no chance.
I just don't want to see them. I just want to see Milwaukee.
Man. Yeah. I hope this
season really, comes. I'm not a fan of Joel Embiid. I don't want to see him win a championship because I don't want to it kind of sucks. Like, I just don't want to see him brag about winning.
Mm-hmm. You want to see him?
I don't like the way he act when he do good stuff, and I just don't want to see him win.
Nah, he does sometimes make it seem like he's like a 3-time MVP, 2-time champion, 2-time defensive player of the year, 2-time first team all NBA. I feel it. And then Ben Simmons, I still don't know how I feel about Ben Simmons. He's just a frustrating player to watch. Like, bro, you got all the tools, but I don't know if it's like a dedication to the game or if it's just his, you know, emphasis on being a point guard, and that I'm on the fence about him still.
Do you think he should switch positions? Like, do you think they should get a ball dominant guard and just let him play kind of like a point forward? Just control the ball a little bit less?
No, because then I think he'll just get lost in the offense. Like, there were already times where, you know, obviously Jimmy's not a ball handling point guard, but there were times when Jimmy had the ball and Ben was just kind of lost. He's standing in the corner. Nobody's paying attention to him because for what? And then he just gets lost. He's not cutting. He's not doing anything. He's not contributing to the offense. So it's like he has to have the ball in his hands or he's.
Yeah, if you don't stand in a corner, you got to cut. If not, you got to be like the pick and roll man.
Right.
Posting up. Like, they're the only three things you can do.
That's what I was going to say. He needs to post up, being that big.
Set a pick, or you can be posting up.
Even if it's in the high post to, like, pass it, like, somewhere else. Like, you need to post up.
As close to the basket as possible.
Or close to the basket. I mean, only reason I would see him, like, not being close to the basket because of Al Horford and Joel.
Both of them can shoot.
Yeah. Or you can just, flop, make it flip-flop.
Or at least they've both of them can shoot better than he can.
Yeah, right.
But there were so many other people I would post up before I post up Ben Simmons for whatever reason. Like, I was just thinking of Tobias Harris. Like, I could post up Tobias, too.
He can shoot a three.
Yeah. They've just got a weird team. Like, I know it sounded like a super talented team, and it is a very talented team. But in terms of how the pieces fit, it is just kind of like.
I didn't like the Al Horford signing because I just felt like that made their team a little too big.
Yeah. I low-key feel like they loved how he played defense against Giannis. He said he's our Giannis killer. Now we can go win the East.
That's your Giannis stopper.
Yeah. But you got to at least get to the point to play Giannis, you know, to utilize him. I don't know if they're going to make it there. Hopefully the NBA comes back, man. We need it. You can't have a season that's just unfinished. Like, we can't just pick this up next year and do it all over again. Like, the emotions aren't there. They're not the same. We need closure to this.
I think it's already tainted regardless. It's just too much time that's been off. I still want it to be finished, but I just hate that all this happened.
Yeah. I mean, I think they were even talking recently. The Nets GM left the door open to KD potentially playing in the playoffs if the season comes back, which is kind of crazy because I think the Nets are like 6th or 7th in the East right now, and all of a sudden – you know, KD comes back healthy, Kyrie comes back healthy. Like,
imagine playing the 2-3rd or something.
Yeah, so imagine playing them as a 7 seed. You're a 2 seed. It's like, well, dang. Like, the difference between the Nets and, you know, the Magic at the 8th seed, now completely different.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that would be wild. That would be wild. But... All right, well, what else y'all got? We good?
I was trying to think what else we could talk about.
What happened in sports?
I was thinking about something the other day that was like preaching or reaching, but I can't remember what it was. I wish I would have like wrote it down. That was a clean segment.
Sometimes I'll be getting things in my head, and then yeah, I just don't write it down and forget about it, especially related to this.
So how do you guys want to do the 2K episodes? Yeah, I'm hitting people up, or re-hitting people up to make sure that they're still interested.
Definitely get it in like them little groups to see if, you know, what type of response I get.
Yeah. Well, we can either do it based off other people, like people's availability, or we can just have say this is the time that we're having it. If you want like to be in on it, like you have to make this time to make it easier for us.
And are we going to do it to where it's one game per week where either you are playing someone or I'm playing someone, or are we both playing someone each week?
I think we last talked about both of us playing someone just to make it go by faster. Mm-hmm. As opposed to, you know, we got six people and now we're spanning over a month and a half, you know, doing it when we could have knocked it out in 3 weeks.
Per week.
Right. So, I mean, I'm down with that. Who knows, maybe even to kick it off, like Carl, you and I can play against each other. That can get people hyped up for, ooh, I want to put Sid because Sid's so nice. You know, I guess I'll play Carl too. He cool. But yes, yeah, so, I mean, maybe we can play against each other like next week or something, and kind of remind people about the 2K episodes, and then we can launch it the following week, getting people on board. And that buys us more time to work out schedules and all that stuff too.
Yeah.
So not this week, but the following week.
Right, right. So, I mean, you guys can hit people up and confirm who's still interested, and I guess we can figure out schedules and say, okay, well, we're starting. Okay, cool. We're set. We're going to so on this date.
For sure. I'm with it.
All right, cool. Well, we'll wrap up this episode. Carl, you winning?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Easy?
You playing 2K right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been playing. He's been playing the whole time.
I need to invest in the console. I think I might get the PS5 when it comes out.
Everything is just delayed and it's new. Like, I already knew that was going to happen because I played online before, like, past games, but this is my first time playing this game online. And I haven't done it in at least a year. So, just the delay is something that I'm going to have to be used to.
I know for me, I have to stop watching the actual, like, release shot, you know, or the release meter. I just have to actually watch the person shooting and follow that. Like, don't pay attention to the meter. The meter will throw you off.
She's like, what you mean it wasn't green? It was right there.
All right, well, yeah, that'll wrap up another episode. Make sure to check us out on YouTube, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all that good stuff. All the video episodes are being uploaded exclusively to YouTube, so make sure to check those out. Y'all got anything else to add?
That's a wrap.
Thanks for tuning in. See y'all on the next episode. We appreciate y'all.
Open the door. Wait, hold on. Don't leave.
All right.
Look at this.
Hey.
Yeah.
He's not doing laundry.
Just got some laundry, y'all.
Oh, shit, you staying too?
We got a cameo.
Yeah, I'm like, sheesh. All right. We'll catch Sakani on the next episode, y'all.
You will catch me on the next one. Sorry I couldn't be here for this one, but either way, I've been watching a documentary. I've enjoyed it. It's been great. Can't wait to talk about parts, 7 and 8 now?
Yeah.
Whew. Yeah.
Yep. All right, y'all.
All right. Well, till next time, y'all. Peace.
Peace.
See ya.